And then they heard the clip-clop of hooves, which boomed rather more loudly around the chilly square than common acoustics should really allow. In fact, clip-clop was an astonishingly inaccurate word for the kind of noise which rattled around Mort's head. Clip-clop suggested a rather jolly little pony, quite possibly wearing a straw hat with holes cut out for its ears. An edge to this sound made it very clear that straw hats weren't an option. The horse entered the square by the hub road, steam curling off its huge damp white flanks and sparks striking up from the cobbles beneath it. It trotted proudly, like a war charger. It was definitely not wearing a straw hat. The tall figure on its back was wrapped up against the cold. When the horse reached the center of the square, the rider dismounted, slowly, and fumbled with something behind the saddle. Eventually, he, or she, produced a nose bag, fastened it over the horse's ears, and gave it a friendly little pat on the neck. The air took on a thick, greasy feel, and the deep shadows around Mort became edged with blue and purple rainbows. The rider strode towards him, black cloak billowing and feet making little clicking sounds on the cobbles. They were the only noises. Silence clamped down on the square like great drifts of cotton wool. The impressive effect was rather spoiled by a patch of ice.
"Oh, bugger."
It wasn't exactly a voice. The words were there, all right, but they arrived in Mort's head without bothering to pass through his ears. He rushed forward to help the fallen figure and found himself grabbing hold of a hand that was nothing more than polished bone, smooth and rather yellowed, like an old billiard ball. The figure's hood fell back, and a naked skull turned its empty eye sockets towards him. Not quite empty, though. Deep within them, as though they were windows looking across the gulfs of space, were two tiny blue stars. It occurred to Mort that he ought to feel horrified, so he was slightly shocked to find that he wasn't. It was a skeleton sitting in front of him, rubbing its knees and grumbling. But it was a live one, curiously impressive, but not, for some strange reason, very frightening.
"Thank you, boy," said the skull. "What is your name?"
"Ah," said Mort. "Mortimer, sir. They call me Mort."
"What a coincidence," said the skull. "Help me up, please."
The figure rose unsteadily, brushing itself down. Now Mort could see there was a heavy belt around its waist, from which was slung a white-handled sword.
"I hope you are not hurt, sir,"
he said politely. The skull grinned. Of course, Mort thought. It hasn't much of a choice.
"No harm done, I am sure."
The skull looked around and seemed to see Lezik, who appeared to be frozen to the spot, for the first time. Mort thought an explanation was called for.
"My father,"
he said, trying to move protectively in front of Exhibit A, without causing any offense.
"Excuse me, sir, but are you Death?"
"Correct. Full marks for observation, that boy."
Mort swallowed.
"My father is a good man," he said.
He thought for a while and added,
"Quite good. I'd rather you left him alone, if it's all the same to you. I don't know what you've done to him, but I'd like you to stop it. No offense meant."
Death stepped back, his skull on one side.
"I have merely put us outside time for a moment," he said. "He will see and hear nothing that disturbs him. No, boy, it was you I came for."
"Me?"
"You are here seeking employment."
Light dawned on Mort.
"You are looking for an apprentice," he said.
The eye sockets turned towards him, their actinic pinpoints flaring.
"Of course,"